This morning we're going to be in a few areas, but we're going to start in Colossians chapter 1. So if you open your Bible there, let's read Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And Paul writes there, he says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can come together, that we can read your word, that we can hear what you have to tell us. Father, I pray that you will fill our hearts with what we hear, that we will meditate on it, think about it, focus on it, allow it to change us and to make us the people you've called us to be. We ask all this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. So today is Easter Sunday. It's a day when we want to remember and focus on the resurrection. And I was thinking about that the last couple of weeks. Why do we want to focus on that? Why do we want to remember it? Why do we take a special Sunday out of every year to commemorate this event? If you're old like me, you'll remember a few decades back, everyone was walking around with little bracelets on their arms that said WWJD. And it stood for What Would Jesus Do? And the intent was that you would think about that and you would try to cause your actions to emulate Jesus. And that sounds like a great thing, doesn't it? Except for one problem. Most people don't know very much about Jesus, and it makes it really hard to emulate him when you have no idea who he is or what he's done. And so this morning, we're going to look instead at what did Jesus do? What did he do? What did he do that made such a difference for us? We want to be able to know what he did so that we can know why he did what he did. So we're going to look at that this morning. And you know, we can think just off the top of our head, well, we know Jesus healed people, right? We know that he fed people. In fact, we even know that Jesus raised some people from the dead. But think about it. If that's all he did, that ended when he stopped walking the earth. When he's no longer on the earth, he doesn't have that same direct physical influence. So for the world looking at it, they would say, that's all in the past. That's all gone. He has no physical presence here. He doesn't heal anyone by touching them. He hasn't broken bread and passed it out to everybody. And he hasn't stopped a funeral procession recently and raised that person out of the coffin. So if all we know of him are the physical things that he did on the earth, we're missing the much bigger picture of who Jesus is. What he did is so much greater than that physical presence. Paul tells us in Colossians here that Jesus reconciled us to God. That means Jesus made peace between us and God. Reconciliation, if we look at it today, is the settlement of a dispute, isn't it? We take our kids, when they do something wrong, we make them reconcile, right? Whether they like it or not, doggone it, they're going to reconcile. You're going to hug each other and tell each other you love each other, and then you're going to play nice together. That's what we do. Well, Jesus reconciled us to God. When we look at reconciliation today, we say each side has to give a little bit or a lot in order for the two parties to come together and be reconciled. But that kind of compromise is not possible with God. God does not compromise. God does not allow for himself to be less just to make amends with us. God is perfect, and therefore he will not settle a dispute by giving, by saying, okay, I'll give, you give, and then we'll be reconciled, because he's perfect. God is perfect and requires perfection. He cannot be in the presence of sin, and therefore he cannot tolerate the sin. And then you look and you say, well, then how is this going to be resolved? How is it possible that we can be reconciled with God? He demands full settlement of the dispute. He will tolerate no less. But then comes Jesus. And Jesus, with his blood, satisfied the requirement that God had for us to be reconciled to him. He brought the two of us together by taking upon himself the sin that we had committed. And he gives to us the righteousness that belongs to him. And therefore, God can look at us and see us no longer as an enemy, but now as a friend. Jesus, in John 15:15, tells us that he calls us his friends, because all that he has heard from the Father, he's revealed to us, and he tells us that he chose us to be his own. So Jesus, by his blood, reconciled us before God. Something that God would accept no less than, and we had no way to pay. And so Jesus comes and he stands before us and he says, I'll take all of your sin. You take my righteousness. Now you're righteous before God and reconciled to him. It's amazing when we think about what Christ did for us. Let's look in the second chapter of Colossians, in chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Listen to what Paul writes here. He says, and you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. That is, he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Jesus paid your debt. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had somebody write the check for you? You go to the bank and you borrow money to buy a car, and the next month you show up to make your payment, and they go, oh, you don't owe us anything. No, I do, because remember I borrowed money last month and I bought that car? And I go, oh no, so-and-so came in and they wrote a check and they paid your debt. I keep waiting for that day. It hasn't happened yet. You keep going, who's going to do that? But Jesus did exactly that. Because when you sinned, and guess what? You only had to sin one time. You can sit in your room and say to yourself, well, I only committed one sin, and that's enough. You are now separated from God. You owe a debt to God you cannot pay. And Jesus came along and he said, it's okay, Dad. I'll pay this one for them. I'll pay the debt. And so he paid that debt. Paul tells us in Romans 3:23 that we were all sinners. And the cost of your sin was separation from God, death. Your sin results in death and the separation from God. And Jesus walks in and he says, it's okay, I'll pay that debt. He made that sacrifice. Because God said, in order for this debt to be paid, there must be a perfect sacrifice for the debt. Perfect meaning without blemish, without anything wrong. If you go back to Deuteronomy and you read about all the sacrifices and the people of Israel and what they had to bring, and the animals that they were able to bring had to be perfect animals. They had to be unblemished. They had to be without any problem or error. They couldn't have a lame leg. They couldn't have anything wrong with them. Well, God says, for my debt to be paid, it requires a perfect sacrifice. So let me look. Can I pay my sacrifice? No, because I'm a sinner. Therefore, I'm imperfect, and therefore, I cannot pay the price. Well, maybe somebody else could do it for me. That would be fine. Who are you going to go to? Because Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, there is no one to pay that debt, because there's no one who is unblemished and perfect to make that sacrifice. Until that one day in Bethlehem, and that little baby was born, and God sent his son to be that perfect sacrifice. To be the one who would be the unblemished lamb. I was thinking about that this week. How many of us can say, I've never sinned? Nobody raise your hand or you're in big trouble. How many of us can say, I've never sinned? None of us. But if Jesus were sitting here, he could raise his hand. Isn't it amazing to think that he lived on earth for 30 years and he never sinned once? I can't get through the morning. He went for 30 years. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She has a list. It's unbelievable, and yet it's totally perfect. He is that perfect sacrifice. We all say, yes, I'm a sinner, but Jesus can say I wasn't. In fact, in his prayer to God in John, the 17th chapter, he makes a comment. In verse 4, he says, he prays to the Father, and he says, I have accomplished the work that you sent me to do. You know what that includes? Living a perfect life so that he can be the unblemished lamb who will go and sacrifice himself for our sins. He is that perfect sacrifice, the one that we have to have. And he paid that price. He offered himself as payment for that debt. He offered it to everybody who chooses it. His payment is sufficient to cover all of the debt, regardless of the amount. Imagine if somebody came to you this week and said, you know, we're running a little bit short in America. We'd like about $12 trillion so we can pay our debt. You go, gee, I'm a little bit short this week. I don't have that. Can you imagine paying a debt like that? And yet Jesus says, no, my blood's sufficient. It will pay the entire debt, no matter how much. You can't out-sin God's grace. You can't outdo the value of Jesus' sacrifice. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? Boy, for me, every day I wake up and I say, thank you that your grace is sufficient. Thank you that your blood is sufficient to pay my debt, because I worry the way I sin that maybe I might run out. But Jesus says, no, there's plenty. It'll be accepted by God as full payment for all of the debt of all of the sin, and Jesus did what we would never have been able to do on our own. And if not for Jesus' death, we would forever be lost and separated from God. we would be without hope. But Jesus paid the debt that we couldn't pay. And we need to thank him every day that he was willing to do that he loves you that much. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Listen to what Paul writes in verse 8. He says, "But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus reveals to us God's love in dying on the cross. And you got to think about this. He didn't die on the cross because you deserved it. I know he didn't die on the cross because I deserved it. He didn't even die on the cross because we were begging him to do it. Right? We weren't standing there going, "Please, Jesus, please die on the cross because I need it." No, the reality is that before that, we were rejecting God. We were opposed to God. We weren't even in a relationship with God. And Jesus says, "I'll go. I'll go to the cross. I'll pay that price." We have to understand that we were sinners before we met Christ. And while we were sinners and in opposition to God, Jesus said, "I will pay the price that you don't even know you need paid because I love you." God loves you. And so let me reveal how much God loves you. The fact that you don't even know you need it, I'm going to take care of it for you so that it's available to you when you come to your senses. When you realize what a terrible situation you're in, you'll be able to say, "Oh, but Jesus, he said he'd be there." You know, it's interesting when you read about the cross. Christ is on the cross. There's two thieves hanging next to him, one on each side. And it says that when they first were on the cross, both of them were accusing Christ. But as time went on, one of them finally says, "Wait a minute. This guy's innocent. Something's going on here." And he says to Jesus, "Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom today?" And Jesus says to him, "Yeah, today you'll be with me in paradise." Can you imagine when he gets to the gates of paradise? And they look at him and they go, "What are you doing here?" He goes, "I don't know." They go, "Well, did you do this?" "No." "Were you baptized?" "No." "Did you spend 3 years in seminary?" "No." "Did you go to Sunday school every day? Do you even know who Jesus is?" "No." "Then what are you doing here?" He says, "The guy in the middle said I could come." How awesome is our God that he says, "Here you go. Even though you don't know that you need it, you're going to need this someday, and I'm going to be there for you." We were detestable, sinful people, and we deserved to be cast into hell, but instead, God said, "Because I love you and I have always loved you. I have loved you before I created everything. And because I love you, I'm sending my son Jesus. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to pay the price that you can't pay with his blood, because he's going to show you in that how much I love you." What love he has for us. That he provided for us to be reconciled to him, to have all of our debt of sin paid, and to spend eternity with him. God paid that debt, and in Jesus, God revealed his love for us. He's shown us how much he loves us and how much he wants you to be with him. forever. So how does God prove to us this satisfaction of what Jesus did? He conquered death. He rose from the grave. He overcame death. On that Sunday morning, he came up out of the grave. He walked out. And he wasn't just a vision. It wasn't a ghost. It was his physical body with his spirit inside it. And he came, and it says that he revealed himself to over 500 people. It wasn't just an apparition. It wasn't just something that they thought they saw. It was Jesus. He made the full payment for your debt. He reveals God's love to you. And then he rose from the dead and he proves, I conquer everything. I have the power. I have the ability. And in John 15, Jesus tells you, there is no greater love than that we see somebody who gives up their life for their friends. And remember at the beginning, Jesus said, you're my friends. He says, you're my friends. You're no longer servants. You're no longer nobodies. No, you're my friends. And I gave up my life for you. He calls us his friends because he paid our debt. And if we accept his gift and become his friends, he shows his love to us in everything that he does. And all this is given to us by his resurrection. And his love is fulfilled in us because he sent the Holy Spirit to walk with us, to be a guide to us. Paul says that the Holy Spirit is like a down payment. He says it's like a deposit. You go to get something, go, well, give me a deposit and I'll hold it for you, right? Well, what does a deposit do? It doesn't pay for it. It shows that there's something coming with it. Well, Paul says the Holy Spirit is like our deposit to remember us, to remind us that there's something coming, that we're going to spend eternity with God. We're going to be with him in heaven. And he says the Holy Spirit is there with us every day, reminding us of that promise, that it's a true promise, that we can rely on it. So you see, Jesus did so much more for us than just some physical miracles. That doesn't discount them. Trust me, the young man who was raised out of the coffin, he's pretty happy, at least for the next 20 years or so, right? You know, what Jesus did was great, but what he did for us was unbelievable. So magnificent, because he made it possible for us to be reconciled to God, for our debt to be paid, for us to understand how much God loves us, and for us to be able to be in relationship with the creator of the universe forever. Not just for a little while. Not just for the rest of the time we live on earth. Not just for that plus a little bit more. But forever. A time that is hard for me to fathom, to think about forever. But God says, you'll always be with me. I have always loved you. I will always love you. And you will spend forever with me. God revealed himself, his love, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And he took us from slavery to freedom. From dark into light. From death into life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together. We thank you, God, because we see in Christ all your love, all your power, all your strength, all your grace, all your mercy. God, I pray that as we go about our day today and throughout this week, we will not forget all that you've done for us, but rather we will be reminded every single day, so that when we go into the world, we will share with those around us the great news that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried in the ground, and rose from the dead, and through him we have everlasting life. Father, put it on our heart to tell people. Make us bold when we go out into the world to share that good news with somebody. Just to tell them there is a great thing that has been done for you. You need to hear it. God, put those words in our mouth. Give us chances to do that and give us boldness to be able to fulfill it. We ask all this, God, in Jesus' name, so that he will receive all the glory and honor. Amen.